This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. More storms could hit the southeast this weekend. The Weather Channel meteorologist Jackie Jarrus has the forecast.
A line of storms then poised to affect the peninsula yet again with more active weather. Then we'll look for wet weather to move into the mid-Atlantic states. A few storms here could be severe, not to mention the very heavy downpours, and the winds are going to begin to pick up on your Sunday especially.
All Army training flights are grounded after two deadly helicopter crashes this month that killed 12 soldiers. CBS's Catherine Herridge on the latest accident in Alaska.
Three soldiers were killed in the crash late Thursday near the town of Healy. They had been returning from a routine training mission. A fourth soldier was also injured and is in stable condition.
Smoke was spotted above Khartoum this morning as fighting in Sudan continues despite an extended ceasefire agreement. The International Red Cross warns of a developing humanitarian crisis. Saraf Shahzwat is the emergency director of East Africa.
Hundreds of thousands of people who are still stuck in Khartoum, who are still in the middle of an active war zone, who don't have electricity, who don't have water, who don't have access to health services.
A dwindling supply of a type of water is affecting medical professionals. CBS's Alexander Tin explains.
The FDA's database now lists sterile water used for irrigation as currently in shortage around the United States. That's a carefully standardized product that's used by doctors and nurses to do things like washing devices and cleaning wounds.
Bids are underway this weekend for First Republic Bank as possible FDIC receivership looms. The regional bank is the third in trouble since March. American University's Gerard Camizio.
Given their levels of uninsured deposits, that's a problem. And so the chickens have kind of come home to roost for all of these banks.
Air pollution is back in California following the clear days of the pandemic. Now there's a plan to counteract the issue, as KCAL-TV's Tina Ezzedin reports from Los Angeles.
Smoggy Southern California.
I think it's horrible. We have so much smog here.
And now, an unprecedented move to rescue it by the California Air Resources Board.
This is an absolutely transformative rule.
The time for putting public health second to the economy is over.
State regulators unanimously voting 14-0 to ban sales of new diesel big rigs by the year 2036 and phase out diesel trucks by 2042.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Attention all DIYers! When you're looking for the best products and supplies to take your landscaping to the next level, look no further than Choice Landscaping. For 30 years, Choice Landscaping and Garden Center continues to deliver professional and personal service within a 10-mile radius of Cudahy, but welcomes customers from all over. Whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, his Garden Center is open year-round to cover all your needs. So don't wait. For more info, visit ChoiceLandscaping.com. Choice Landscaping. Cover all your needs.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Are listening to The Empowered Caregiver with Kristen Voss and Liza Hellenbrand. Tonight, it is just Kristen. Liza is on a well-deserved vacation, and I'm really excited for her. She's not had a full week vacation in a very long time. We have a great show planned for today. I can't wait to get started with our guests. We're going to be joined by Lynn Abati-Johnson, a business consultant and global community builder in the digital marketing space, who wrote the book Out of Love about the caregiving experience she had with her mother and her amazing journey of working while being a caregiver. Then we'll be speaking with Angela Howard, the founder and CEO of Call for Culture, an organization that is hacking the intersection of business impact and employee interest. These are such great words, but I can't get them all out. Let's try that again. They are an organization that is hacking the intersection of business impact and employee interest to sustainably transform workplace cultures. These two leaders have some interesting perspectives to share to get us all thinking outside of the box, especially in terms of what work is, how to be employed as a family caregiver, and how to get a better sense of what we need as caregivers and individuals. So let's get started. Welcome, Lynn. You have recently published Out of Love, A Daughter's Journey with Her Mom to the End. Can you tell us what inspired you to write this book and what you hope readers take away from it?
For having me. I really appreciate being here with you. I wrote the book because it had to be written. It had to be shared. I realized through my transformational journey through caregiving for my mom and the grief process that not many conversations have been happening around things that are uncomfortable, maybe stigmatized. And when my mom was first diagnosed in 2011, I thought it was a death sentence for me as well. And I just couldn't imagine being on the planet without my mom. And what I learned, fortunately, we had about 6 years, a little over 6 years with her on that, what I call the cancer roller coaster. And so I really gained some tools over those years to not only sustain myself in my own leadership journey emotionally and spiritually and at a soul level, but also practical tools and logistics that I now offer to other family caregivers to help through their journeys of the everyday in and out, always different scenarios that happen when someone, a loved one especially, is going through some kind of a health journey. It could be anything.
Sure. And isn't that true that it is just a whole roller coaster of different experiences and different feelings? And so what do you hope readers take away from reading that, though?
That everything's going to be okay. My main message for other family caregivers is that you're going to be okay. You're not alone. And that these days, unlike the years that I was going through it, there is so much more support. There are so many more resources. And I know for sure that you're going to be okay, dear fellow caregivers. So,
well, thank you. As a family caregiver, I love hearing that because both Lynn and Angela have had an inside picture to the frazzled life of Kristen, the working empowered caregiver. As I'm trying to sit down in front of our radio show tonight and managing a lot of different fires. So I think that's great. I'm going to lean into that tonight, that I am going to be okay, because you two have already been incredibly gracious as guests, knowing that I'm coming here at the last second. And so it's just, it's a great community and a great message. Well, it's a great message to give a great community, right? To help us feel like we aren't alone and that we can do this.
Yes. And I'm here because I'm with you. And that's what I always say. I'm with you. And even though our circumstances are completely unique, we still have a common thread that weaves together that tapestry that we all live in our daily lives. And what you're doing with the Empowered Caregiver Network at the community is really phenomenal. So I want to be part of more of these kinds of conversations in everyday life. I want it to be mainstream.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lynn. I'm curious, at what time in your journey did you identify as the family caregiver? And at that time of being a caregiver, did you do any research on what that meant for you? Because it sounds like you said there's so many more. How long ago was it when mom passed? You had mom with a cancer diagnosis for 6 years. What year did she pass?
2017. In fact, it was May 1st, 2017.
Oh, and it's coming up.
Diagnosed in early 2011, and I had no idea, Kristen, what a caregiver even was. I didn't even know that was a term,
right?
First of all, and no one in our family had ever had any kind of serious diagnosis, even though my mom did. My mom carried the BRCA2 gene. So interestingly, and if you've ever looked at epigenetics, this is a whole interesting science there. But neither one of my grandparents ever manifested what the gene that they were carrying. One of them was carrying it, and neither one of them ever had cancer. And so my mom was the first that I knew about that was a close relative. And so I did not understand the meaning of the term caregiver. I didn't know there was such a thing as family caregiver. In fact, I just recently learned about respite caregiving. Like, I didn't know, I felt like we were completely on our own, deer in the headlights, hanging by a thread at every moment, and trying to figure it all out and sort through this maze of information all at once. So all of a sudden we had to learn about what cancer even is. Sure. And then we had to learn about what cancer likes and what it doesn't like, and what to eat, what to drink, you know, all this, like supplements, and how the East and Western health approaches complement each other or are contraindicated. I never knew the meaning of the word contraindicated in terms of medications and supplements. And so what ended up happening was that we created systems and structures around my mom's care. And it was really interesting because I always say we almost turned my mom's diagnosis into a business because we were all entrepreneurs. And so
as professionals, you were all entrepreneurs.
Yes. Got it. My mom was like the original marketer in our family, that before that was even a term. And she was an entrepreneur. And I was raised in a family business, working from the age of 9, facing customers. And so all we knew to do was to build some structure and some systems around her diagnosis. And so that's why in the book and on my website, I provide free PDFs of, you know, checklists and tracking charts and all of those practical logistical things that I knew we would either forget about or we wouldn't even know about in our journey of care for her.
And I wish I had found you a lot sooner too, right? And all the resources, because I know that many of our listeners, but I might not have shared with both of our guests here what our story is. Liza and I are both parents of young adult children with autism, and then an intellectual disability compounding with that. And then my daughter has epilepsy. So similar to you, nobody in our family had epilepsy. So all of a sudden I was a teacher, not just a teacher, but a teacher, right? And I was proud of that, but I became like you said, a business executive that had to manage all these different systems, a nurse, a doctor, a researcher, and it can be overwhelming. And having those tools, I mean, that's wonderful. So let's give a quick shout out to your website so that people can get to those specific things. I'll let you do it.
It's LynnAbatejohnsonBook.com.
Let's so it's spell that.
Name spelled out. Yeah.
Well, go ahead and spell it.
LYNN. A, B as in boy, A-T-E, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, B-O-O-K.com. Okay. And then you'll see at the top, there's a tab for resources, and then you can just go in and get the, you know, you just put in your email address and.
Right, exactly. It's perfect. Right. And besides writing that book, you are a business consultant and a global community builder. Can you tell me a little bit about how that has intersected in the world of caregiving?
Yes, it's a really good question, because what I do for a living and to generate income is very, very integrated with the story that I tell about my personal transformation and my leadership journey. As a firstborn of five children, I was always a natural leader anyway. I was always given almost extra responsibility. And I was that person for my mom. I was that child of hers that was her admin person, her go-to person for everything systematic, right? And so it was a very natural thing for me to put into practice what I've learned about running businesses, growing businesses, gathering community around businesses over all of the years, and then gathering community around my mom and her cancer diagnosis. So all of those skills that I've learned from a very young age have also informed who I am as a daughter and as a business person. And it's not that far of a stretch, you know, it is all really connected.
Sure. And are you seeing that thread continue to travel as you've no longer been the caregiver for your mom? Are you seeing that thread of those consultant skills and global community builder skills into work you're doing today?
Yes, I definitely am. Now I have a better sensibility of who people really are their whole selves, and not just who they show up at work as. Right. So when my mom was first diagnosed, I was in Silicon Valley working for a global internet startup, and I didn't let anybody know what I was dealing with at home. And now I have that sensibility. Even you'll see me on LinkedIn talking about, you know, how are you really? What's going on with you, not only on your profile, on your socials, on your LinkedIn, what's going on for you at home? So it's made me a lot more curious.
Oh, that's excellent. It's made you more curious. And then are you helping people understand how to bring that in as either an employer or an employee?
I like to think so. I think the more conversations we have about this, and the more, again, I'll use the word mainstream, we make these everyday conversations, the more important it is for our communities and our world as a whole.
Excellent point. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking more with Lynn about why she believes that work-life balance is a myth.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit LibertyMutual.com to learn more. LibertyMutual.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies today with scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 50. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows level off around 36. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 43. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Lynn, when you share your sentiment, and you've done that on some of your posts, that the concept of a work-life balance is a myth, it seems as if you are speaking to that same sense of how unsustainable this experience of being a working family caregiver can be. Can you tell us a little bit more about why you have that perspective or your experience from it?
Yes, it's why I use the roller coaster metaphor. It's the roller coaster really exemplifies what it feels like. Because you're either like soaring down this like deep, 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 you know, hill, or you're kind of inching up a little bit and maybe you're at the top and you can get a really beautiful view. So there, to me, there is no work-life balance. And one of the reasons that I believe that is because business is personal. And it's not separate from who we are as human beings. So when we have jobs to show up at, it's important to be treating the whole human, the whole human.
And okay, so you're saying, say that to me again about business, especially having been more of a teacher and not quite having the business background. Can you speak? Can you help me out there a little bit, please?
Well, for me, being a lifelong entrepreneur, business has always been personal. Right. I grew up in a family business. We didn't have a turnoff switch. There was no way to turn off business. We were always talking about what happened during the day in the business.
What type of business was it again, Lynn?
Well, one part of it was roller skating rinks in the Detroit area.
Cool.
So it was kind of interesting. I still roller skate to this day, only now I'm roller skating at the beach instead of inside a roller rink in Detroit.
Nice.
So that was one. My grandfather immigrated here from Baghdad, Iraq, and he started up this chain of roller skating rinks in the Detroit area. And so that was part of it. The other part was that my dad was an attorney. And so he did own a roller skating rink as well, but also I was a legal secretary. And so there was always talk about business, business, business. It's never seemed to end. And that's why I say, work-life balance? Forget that. It doesn't exist. It's a myth. So I think many people are trying to attain a balance in their lives. And sometimes, especially when you're starting a business, it's just all uphill and it's risky and it's scary. It's just like that cancer journey or that any other caregiving journey at home. It's risky. It seems like it's all uphill. It seems like you're never going to get a rest or a break. Much less have a good night's sleep. So in that sense, it really is a myth to me. And so that's why I relaxed about it over these years. And that's part of my personal transformation, is just to chill out and not put expectations on myself that are unrealistic. So when we have a break, when we have a rest, when we have the good times and the upswings, great. We enjoy that. And then when we have like go, 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 produce, 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 whether it's in business or in the at home caregiving, it's all the same. It's just, you know, what I always like to say now is that we need to manage our energy much more than we need to manage our time.
Ooh, I like that, especially as someone who just today was saying that one of my biggest challenges is time management. And it is right. Well, oh, wow. Okay, wait, let's dig into that for a second. Right, because managing time, I can't control time. And so I don't manage it very well. So tell me what you mean by managing energy instead.
So time is finite. We can't, like you said, we can't control it. Energy is something that flows, right? It comes and it goes. And everything is energy. Money is energy. You know, relationships are energy. Everything is energy. So what happens and what has happened with me in the last many years, especially since my mom died, is that even at work, I've learned to manage my energy much more than my time, because I'll admit it right here in front of all of you, I am a recovering workaholic. And so as an entrepreneur, and I mentioned this earlier, that we, you know, we always would talk about business even at home at the end of the day, and that never stopped. So now it's much more about holding my energy in chunks, kind of like, that's not really a great way to say it, but.
No, I'm following you. And I'm also having this weird life transition myself from going from being a classroom teacher to starting this business. And I was sharing with some friends, I mean, a classroom teacher, my time was controlled by bells. I mean, it was so structured. There were literally bells telling me where to be and when to be there. And now it's exactly what you're describing, where life and work and caregiving and fun and personal, you know, exploration is so intertwined. And so I get what you mean by this chunks of energy. Where am I going to put that energy? And how am I going to direct that energy? Because time is not really my friend.
Yes. And also building in the pause and building in a less structured day sometimes. So I used to have like Mondays, I left Mondays without scheduling too much. And that way I knew on Mondays I could schedule a coffee or a walk with a friend, for example.
Wow. Exactly.
So it's managing the energy has really come in handy, and I'm not always perfect at it. And it's, you know, a constant practice. It really is a practice, and just that.
Well, great. I really am appreciative that you've reminded me of that. Before we pivot to adding Angela Howard and her work on changing the culture of workplaces, can you tell listeners one more time where they can go learn more about you and where to order your book?
Yes, it's lynnabatejohnsonbook.com. And that's LynnabateJohnsonBook.
All right. Perfect. We'll be back in just a moment to start talking about possible solutions to creating some of these caregiver-friendly workplaces.
On air at 92
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Breaking right now, officials say a gunman is on the loose after shooting 8 people in Cleveland, Texas. 5 of them have died. It happened at a home late Friday night, according to the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office. Cleveland is located about 45 miles northeast of Houston. A storm system that brought suspected tornadoes to Texas could produce more severe weather. The Weather Channel's meteorologist Jackie Jarris has the forecast.
This will continue to bring a threat of damaging winds, large hail, and even a few tornadoes. Storms then work their way into the Gulf of Mexico, work their way back northward into the panhandle of Florida.
The Army is taking action after 2 deadly helicopter crashes this month, including one on Thursday. CBS's Catherine Herridge reports.
The Army Chief of Staff has ordered a total aviation stand down after the collision of 2 Apache helicopters in Alaska.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Milwaukee attorneys, 2011 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1650, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53202.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to iupatdc7.com.
Is your teenager anxious about their future? Would you like to see them take control with confidence and excitement? Contact Sarah Deacon, the adulting coach, at sarahdeacon.com and give them the courage to face their next level in life. Sarah Deacon Coaching helps to process decisions, relationships, rejection, and everything else teenagers go through. And it's a judgment-free zone to learn and express themselves. Visit sarahdeacon.com for your free consultation. That's SARADEACON.com.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care without judgment. And everyone deserves a health care provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive health care services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We were just speaking with Lynn Abati Johnson, the author of Out of Love, about the caregiving experience she had with her mother and her journey of working while being a caregiver. You can find her book on her website, www.lynnabatijohnsonbook.com, and on Amazon. I'm excited to welcome our next guest, who Liza found going down one of her many rabbit holes in the research she does for our show. We have with us Angela Howard from Call of Culture. She's an organizational psychologist, speaker, and culture impact strategist with a mission to create more human-centric workplaces that send happier and more fulfilled humans home to further enrich their communities and society. Angela, please tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome. And what's going on over at Call for Culture?
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Lynn. It's so good to be with you both. And thank you for having me on. I am Angela Howard. Thank you for the introduction. I'm the CEO at Call for Culture. We work with organizations to create safer, more inclusive workplace cultures. And we do that through a process which is really centered on organizational psychology and how humans actually operate in the workplace. And Lynn, I loved what you said earlier about we bring our whole selves to work. So I think we've created some mismatched paradigms when it comes to the workplace around what we're expecting people to be and do. And so we're trying to bring more humanity back into the workplace.
Okay. And so I had stated in your introduction that your mission is to create this more human-centric workplace. And I know that's what caught Liza's attention. And so I think you just described exactly what a human-centric workplace is, but is there any more you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's really around designing spaces and organizations and businesses around people. And what we know is organizations that have been able to operationalize their culture in a way that actually fits the people who are doing the work, they get better results, more productivity, less turnover, more innovation, less safety incidents. So we know it's not only good for people and humanity, but also for the bottom line.
Hmm. Okay. I want to talk about the bottom line in a few minutes, but before we do that, I want to make the connection to family caregivers, since this is a family caregiver show. And it kind of seems sort of obvious to me, but I'm not sure if it's obvious to you or to an employer that having a more human-centric workplace might mean it's a little bit easier for me to be at work as a family caregiver. So before you dive into the whole business piece, do you have any personal experience as a family caregiver?
Yes. Yes. So my father passed away back in May of 2015. So Lynn, I kind of clutched my heart when you told your story, because it certainly hits home for me. Before I started my business, I worked in corporate America. And, you know, so Lynn, I also understand the environment that you were in. But I was lucky enough to work in an organization where my leadership created a flexible and safe environment for me to be able to express what I needed at that time.
When and my that had to be fairly unique.
That felt unique to me, yes. Okay. And talking to other people and understanding how workplace culture works traditionally, this is also the reason why I started my business, because this was a unique experience and it shouldn't be. And in my case, when I was bringing that forward to my leader, I had just started the job. So no reason for them to be like, take all the time you need, but that's exactly what they did. They said, take all the time you need. You've been here a week, but we trust you. And that piece increased my loyalty by a millionfold in the future. And I added great value for that company. So that's my personal story.
That's great. And how do you take that now into the work you're doing to bring not just a caregiver-friendly workplace and a human-centric workplace, but one where it's actually being implemented?
Yes. So I think culture, inclusion, all these are buzzwords that we say a lot, right? And so I think it's really important for organizations to match their words with their actions. If we're going to say we're going to be an inclusive workplace, that also has to include the human experience and a diverse set of life events, which includes caregiving. Mm-hmm. And really it all comes down to leadership. And I think what I find most working with organizations is oftentimes there is a mismatch between what we say, we care about people, we wanna be inclusive, this is a people-centered work environment, and then what actually gets done within the organization and how the leaders show up and provide space, a safe space for their people. So that's what we're trying to combat, for lack of better words.
Okay. And so how does that turn? I'm really appreciative that you are ready to take some of the buzzwords out of the conversation, right? Because I think that's probably why I was tripping over some of them in your introduction, is they are all over the place. And I'm not sure as a result, they have the meaning they need anymore. You know, our DEI work, I just sometimes kind of, you know, sort of ponder, well, what do you mean by DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, when it doesn't really necessarily look like it's diversity, equity, and inclusion from a whole human standpoint? It might be from a gender standpoint, it might be from a racial ethnic standpoint, but it might not necessarily really look at the whole human being. And so I love that you're recognizing that and you're saying, you didn't say combat, did you? You said address.
I did say combat.
You did some. Okay, good. I was like, is it just me who wants to go out and fight?
We're challenging.
All right, perfect. And so tell me on a real specific way, if I was an employer, how would you be helping me combat that disconnect of what I might be talking about and wanting, but not actually being able to create in my work environment?
So the first step is defining it and naming it. So we work with organizations to pick apart those buzzwords. We look at their value system. And in some organizations, that value system may look like core values or words on a wall or beautiful words on a website. But we go in there and we work with the team to define and align behaviors around what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And that's part of the secret sauce, because that is going to allow us to create a roadmap in understanding where we actually are versus where we want to go. So we have an assessment that we use that actually measures that. And that assessment considers everyone in the organization. So if supporting caregivers or supporting our employees through life events is important, we're going to ask the right questions to get at that and understand what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And then we work with the organization to create a roadmap and we measure along the way.
Excellent. So let's first start with, if I was an employer right now and I was listening to this show, or I was married to an employer or a daughter of an employer who I know needed your services, how could they find you?
So you can find us at callforculture.com.
Okay.
That's the best way to get to us.
Excellent. And then they bring you in and you start talking about the kind of services and packages and assessments and that type of stuff.
Yep. All of our signature package is a long-term partnership. So my team works with the organization from 12 to 18 months. Culture change is not easy and it's not fast. So we're really kind of a partner and a guide along the way.
Okay. And are you finding that organizations that do hire you and partner with you are really trying to look at the whole human experience, or are they bringing you in to kind of meet some of their DEI data and their DEI goals? You know, is there true authenticity behind this?
It's a great question. So sometimes yes, and sometimes no. And we've been doing a very good job at filtering some of those, because we prefer not to work with the organizations who are just looking to check a box. And we do what we can up front to be clear that we're going to be your guide, but this is a commitment that has to be sustainable.
Okay.
You all will have to do the work.
I like it.
We are there to guide.
Exactly. And so don't invest in us, right? If you're not going to actually follow the roadmap we're going to create together. That's beautiful. Now I want to pivot to, okay, now I'm sitting in the audience, which most of us as family caregivers are probably not the leaders and the decision makers because of the life journeys we've been on. And so what can I do as a family caregiver at my workplace where I know they need your perspective, right? And so I can maybe suggest that they bring you in, but what are some other things that I could do to encourage, ask for, direct the workplace from the bottom up, right? From the employees to kind of demand, or, you know, if we're going to fight the fight, ladies, right? We're going to combat, but we're also going to demand some of this change. So what's some advice you want to give caregivers?
Yeah. So I do think a lot of culture change is a groundswell. So all of you who are listening, there is a great opportunity for you to be leaders. Leadership is a capability. It's not a role within an organization. So I think you could use some of your leadership skills to talk to your leader, to integrate in with any initiatives that are already happening, whether it's under the umbrella of DE&I or culture transformation or improvement, continuous improvement. Attach this to something that's already happening in the organization and bring this as an opportunity to amplify voices around your community and what you're passionate about.
That's beautiful. That's really good. I mean, there's something you said that I want to kind of go back to. You said, what was the first sentence that you said again about?
Ooh.
I know. Sorry. That's probably not the best way to ask a question, but you were saying essentially a take the experience and an initiative and do what with them?
So a great way to create change and movement is to integrate what's already happening. So if there is a strategic initiative at the organization around DE&I or people first or people over profits or culture transformation, start talking to the people who are running those programs. So you can really amplify your voice as a caregiver and provide that perspective, and also maybe starting to talking to other caregivers around the organization and understanding where the opportunities are, and being the integrator of all that information to roll up to the decision makers.
Excellent. Okay. That's exactly what I was looking for, is that piece that gives me some empowerment, right? Mm. That I actually can find the right way, because I do think a common message that I've heard from people, and Lynn brought it up in some of the posts that she's had, that it's scary and intimidating to tell your employer that you're a family caregiver. I mean, and as you said earlier, your experience was pretty unique, that mm-hmm. 1 week into the job, they said, take all the time you need. I don't know, you're the exception to the norm from many of the yes. stories that I've listened to. And I'm glad you had that. And it's not to make you feel guilty or, you know, special for it. It's just recognizing that since that isn't the norm, what we can do as family caregivers is find where we have those pathways, take advantage yes. of that. And really, I, like you said, partner it and connect it to what is trying to be implemented in some of the strategies. Okay. What kind of pushback do you get from organizations and employers, though? And how do you respond to that? Because I'm sure they're out there.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of times what we find is organizations hire us because they want to send a message to their people and say, see, this is what you need to do differently. 100% of the time, it's leadership.
Mm.
99.9% of the time, it's leadership.
Okay.
So usually it's some mismatch of what we say and what we do when it comes to leadership behavior, in groups and out groups when it comes to leadership. So the pushback happens when the mirror is in their face, to be honest. And you're hearing things like, you know, this is not about money, or it's not about a paycheck. I want to work for an organization where I feel like I belong and I'm safe here. Mm-hmm. And the leaders who are running this company do not make me feel that way. So we spend a lot of time with leadership and role modeling, and also accountability. Accountability is really important in making sure that you're driving that value system that you've developed as an organization.
And how can you get the leadership to do that, though?
Well, oftentimes we do it with data. So thankfully, we have an assessment that really makes it very clear where the issues are. And we work directly with the top level leader in the organization, the CEO, the founder. We don't do any work that's buffered. So we always require that CEO, that top level leader, is a part of the conversation. And that ensures that the commitment gets impacted all the way throughout the organization. Accountability takes time, but leadership development is also an important tool to send the message of what's important, and then hold people, coach people, and then hold people accountable to that.
Excellent. Well, when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more with both of these experienced and intelligent women to help craft an explanation for why everyone should care about creating these caregiver-friendly work environments and this work-centric approach.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com. Or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Nextech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nextechglass.com. That's nextechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected.
High temperatures reach up to 50. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows dip down to about 36. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 43. Cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Radio Show, and we've been digging deep into both the problems family caregivers face when working outside the home and some of the hows of helping support them. But now I want to really explore the reasoning for why this needs to happen. And I want to go, and I'm opening it up for both of the women, both of my guests. And so again, if you haven't been following us all of the hour, we have Lynn Abati Johnson, who is a global business consultant and has written a really interesting book about her experience of caring for her mother on an eight-year journey. We can hear. An eight-year journey of caring for her mom while also working outside the house. And Angela Howard, who is the CEO and founder of a really interesting organization called Call for Culture, where they're really working with changing workplaces in an authentic manner to make them be more human-centric. I had a friend last night, I'm hoping he's not listening because I'm calling him out, who said, oh, you're going to talk to somebody who wants to change workplace culture so that people can feel good when they go to work? What is wrong with this young generation that feels like everything has to be about them and they're entitled to all of this whiny, I won't want to go to work unless you make me feel good? And I thought, because it's probably going to make their bottom line better. And he couldn't see mm-hmm. that connection. And I thought, well, I don't want to do it because I want to let Angela do it since you're the expert. And so I want to ask you, how am I going to come back to my friend today after the show when he knows that I've been interviewing you and saying, this is why an owner of a business, an employer of a large corporation needs to care about their employees as these whole humans? Hmm.
The answer is simple. I mean, I could get into all of the research that tells us that positive company cultures and commitment to employee well-being is linked to shareholder returns. But what I'll say is when you take care of your people, they take care of your stakeholders and your shareholders. Hmm. And that may seem like an obvious thing, but the research tells us that positive workplace cultures increases profitability by 22%, productivity by 21%, 10% in customer ratings. It lowers turnover by 65% and lowers quality defects by 41%. That's a study from Gallup in 2014. And those numbers still hold true throughout the decades when it comes to this research.
Right. Well, and I bet the pandemic, everybody keeps referring back to the pandemic and the quarantine and how that's shown us work needed to be different, work-life balance needed to be different. But I don't want you to necessarily repeat all of the statistics again, but I want you to tell me the measurable outcomes one more time.
Higher productivity.
Okay.
Higher profitability.
Okay.
Higher customer ratings.
Okay. Pause. Pause. So we've got higher productivity. Higher, what was it?
Profitability.
Profitability, right? Isn't that the key piece? Yeah. Because that's what these friends are saying to me. Like, I know it must be hard to be a family caregiver and be at work, but that's not their problem, Kristen. They've got to make money. And you're saying, but if they take care of me, if they take care of other family caregivers, they are going to make even more money.
Yes.
Can you spell that out for me? Break that down for me, please.
Yes. So what we know is that if we think about the opposite, right? If you are enforcing employees to be at work when they are not functioning at their best. If you are putting them in situations where they have to multitask and put in a lot of emotional, physical, mental labor. Then you're going to get a less productive employee. And that's going to result in less profitability, less revenue, and potentially less of a positive interaction with the people who are going to be making you money, which is ultimately your customers.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Okay. And then I had stopped you because I wanted to go,
wanted
deep.
To go deep.
But let's talk about hold on one sec. So now, Lynn, I think you might have to mute. Or I think Evan got you because I was doing feedback or something. So besides all of those measures, there was also something about high ratings.
Customer ratings.
Yeah. Talked about that for just a sec, please, Angela.
Yeah. So what we know is that when your employees are passionate and committed to your organization, and you're matching the partnership around what my values are and what your values are as an organization, and they're happy and they're aligned, that is going to show up in their behavior to your customers. So whether you sell a product or a service, they're going to be more innovative, more creative in working with your customers to problem solve. So that's kind of, I'll leave it at that, because that is the gist of that.
Yeah, that all makes sense. That all makes sense. Lynn, do you have anything you want to add to the conversation about why leadership? I like that she's using the word leadership, so I'm going to change my wording too. Why leadership really should care beyond the social, I should care about other human beings. Why should they care about their employees, especially if they're family caregivers?
It's a matter of integrity, right? So if you're running a workplace, a business that you say is human-centric, that you care about your people, that it's a humane environment, why should we have to choose between building a career and being real whole human beings at home caring for loved ones? Because guess what? We all have loved ones. Mm-hmm. We all have them, and things happen in life. And so it's naive, actually, to think that we can ignore a part of our life. You know, when I was in Silicon Valley, I basically was leading a double life because I had that fear, you know, that Angela was talking about. And I didn't feel like I really belonged there unless I could show up as the rock star that I was. So I had to be a rock star at work, and I had to be rock star at home with my mom, trying to do everything I could to make her comfortable.
Yeah. And that's not sustainable. But if both worlds open up, you can be a rock star and show up in both places, right? If you can do that integration. That's excellent. Ladies, this has been just one of the best conversations. I know that Liza's kicking herself that she missed out. Just so the audience knows too, that these two women have now connected in all kinds of levels. As Lynn was sharing that she came, or your grandfather came from?
My grandfather. Yeah,
and Angela's husband's from Iraq. So they're going to have all kinds of opportunities. And it's been wonderful to be experiencing this with you all. We know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So that's why we want to end each show with a positive note. You got this. And together with each other, one another, and women like this, we are going to be stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Attention all DIYers. When you're looking for the best products and supplies to take your landscaping to the next level, look no further than Choice Landscaping. For 30 years, Choice Landscaping and Garden Center continues to deliver professional and personal service within a 10-mile radius of Cudahy, but welcomes customers from all over. Whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, his Garden Center is open year-round to cover all your needs. So don't wait. For more info, visit choicelandscaping.com. Choice Landscaping. Cover all your needs.
the Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.